Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege of being in your house and meeting with God's people. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be here in power and that he would guide us into all truth today. And may the word of God settle into our hearts and take root, make us better Christians. God, I pray if someone is not a Christian today, that the Holy Spirit would convict them and draw them. And Lord, that they would trust Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior today. Thank you, Lord, again for all of your blessings. Lord, we just need you. Ask for your help in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25. Notice what the Lord said. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and cause their lightness and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And my main focus this morning is going to be what the word of God tells us here in verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And I want to tell you today that that is the remedy. The word of God is the remedy. The Bible tells us a little bit about the prophet Jeremiah. The Bible tells us in chapter 1 that he was a chosen prophet. God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And of course, when you read that verse, you can't help but think of what's been in the news here the past few days and the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And I just want to thank the Lord for that. And I hope it continues to make it possible that less children will be murdered in the womb. Amen. Because the Bible says here that before God formed him in the belly, God knew him. God had chosen him to be a prophet before he was born. Like the Apostle Paul, he could say, I was separated from my mother's womb and called by his grace. He was chosen to be a prophet to not only the Jewish people, but he was chosen to be a prophet to the other nations besides. And today he's still a prophet for us. He's a prophet to our nation. And national sins will still bring forth national judgment. National sins will still bring forth national judgment. So Jeremiah, before he was formed in his mother's womb, God had set him apart and appointed him to be a prophet. And you know, the Bible says something about all of us. The Bible says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And the Bible says, or God says, he declares, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In other words, God is in control. He's in control. And I want to remind you that nothing ever takes God by surprise. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. And what he purposes, that he will do. There is no plan B with God.
Amen.
There is no plan B. He's in charge. But you know something about the ministry of Jeremiah. I was studying a little bit about that this morning. In the eyes of man, Jeremiah's ministry would be considered a failure. Jeremiah's ministry would be considered a failure in the eyes of man. The Bible calls him the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. And he was told before he ever started, this would be quite an encouragement. He was told by God before he ever started that his message would be rejected. That'd make you want to get at it, wouldn't it? You know, whether our message is rejected or not, we're still commanded to go and preach the gospel to every creature. It's not our business whether it's rejected or not. It's our duty to tell others. Is that not right? By the way, I loaded the track rack up this morning, so get some seed, take it out of the barn today when you leave. Hand out some tracks, witness to people. Witness to people. The Bible tells us that his neighbors and his family turned against him. He was beaten and put into stocks, the Bible tells us. He was later accused of treason and put into prison. And his enemies eventually placed him in a dungeon. Not only did they place him in a dungeon, they put him in an old well that was just full of mire and mud, and they let him sink down into that. They lowered him down into that and let him sink down into that mire and left him to die. But fortunately, an Ethiopian eunuch thought about him and rescued him out of that. And he lived longer. I don't know exactly how he died. Tradition says that he was martyred. He died a martyr's death. But I guess what I'm getting at is it seems like sometimes if you read the book of Jeremiah and you read the book of Lamentations, you'll see that sometimes the only person that Jeremiah seemed to please was God. Well, do you know anything more important than that? Let me know. We ought to be more concerned about pleasing God than we should be concerned about pleasing men, shouldn't we? Think about this. What is success? What is success? In other words, how do we judge if a person is successful? I want to tell you something. What the world considers success and what God labels success are probably two different things most of the time. In eternity, I think we'll find out that a lot of quote unquote successful people weren't that successful after all. And a lot of people that we thought weren't successful, come to find out they were successful in the eyes of God. In this portion of Scripture, the prophet Jeremiah is rebuking the prophets of Israel because of their lying and their wicked lifestyle. Many of the prophets had led the people and turned the people away from God. They'd led the people astray, and they had strengthened the hands of the evildoers. You know, we've got a lot of people like that today. I noticed on the news when they always talk about gay marriage or they always talk about abortion, they find some lesbian woman Methodist preacher somewhere to interview. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
That's a fact. These people claim to be showing people the right way, but they're showing people the wrong way, aren't they? We live in a similar time to Jeremiah's day. And many churches today, they wink at the things that the prophet mentions here. They wink at adultery, and they place unqualified people in places of leadership. And they cease to cry out against sin. And false doctrines have been promoted and accepted into a lot of churches, into a lot of what is called Christianity today. And mainline denominations have accepted and even promoted homosexual behavior. We're seeing that today. I know a homosexual couple. They're in church this morning. I'm talking in Charleston. That's the kind of world we live in. Our churches in this country have become entertainment centers. We find ourselves, a lot of churches are entertaining the goats rather than feeding the sheep. Our country is in a perilous state, if you haven't noticed. We're in a state where we're split right down the middle about moral things and political things. We need the Lord. The remedy is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You know, oftentimes people blame, even I do sometimes, I blame the politicians. You ever do that? I blame the politicians. But you know what? The politicians are not primarily to be blamed. It's the churches and the preachers of this country that ought to be blamed. It's the Christians in this country that ought to be blamed. We're to be salt and light. You know, politicians are what they are. I was in a meeting one time. I'm a member. Actually, I'm more than a member of the West Virginia Family Foundation. I was in a meeting one time. We were sitting around a table with several attorneys, and several preachers, different people, and this one attorney, he said, "Well, we need to throw our support behind so-and-so, this politician." He said, "We need to throw our support behind so-and-so." And I said, "Well, wait a minute." I said, "This guy's always promoting gambling." He said, "Yeah, but he's pro-life and he's this and that and the other." And I said, "Yeah, but I can't support somebody that's always supporting the gambling industry." And that attorney looked at me, and I'm sitting there with all these, I'm just a small fry, and these were big fries. I'm sitting there with these people, and I'm a young preacher. This was 20 years ago. He looked at me, and he said, "Well, a half a loaf is better than nothing." And I said, "Buddy, a preacher don't know anything about half a loaf." We've compromised and compromised and compromised till there's nothing left. I say that to say this: don't put too much hope in the politicians. The solution to our problem is not to be found at the White House or at the courthouse even. It's at the church house. The Bible says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." So, first thing I want to look at here is, what does God hear? Verse 23, notice what it says. What does God hear? Verse 23, am I God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said. I want to tell you, number one, that God sees and hears everything. God sees, and these politicians get together in the back rooms and make these deals. God sees all that. These preachers that don't preach the truth, God sees all that. These preachers that get on the television and beg for money, and they live extravagant lifestyles and take money from poor people to live these crazy lifestyles, God sees all that.
Yes.
He sees all that. He sees and hears everything. There's nothing escapes God. There's nothing escapes God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. I want to remind you today, this morning, that nobody's getting by with anything. Nobody is getting by with anything. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What we lack in this country today is the fear of the Lord. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." So these things, you know, do you understand that the reason that you don't hear much about Jeffrey Epstein anymore is because the people that should be investigating Jeffrey Epstein were cohorts. People in high places. Wickedness in high places. So they decided to just rather brush that, sweep that under the rug. But Jesus said everything's going to be revealed one of these days. Everything's going to be revealed. And false prophets are going to be judged, aren't they? I'll read to you. You can turn there if you like. Matthew, hold your place if you want to go there. Matthew chapter 7. What Jesus said about false prophets. Matthew chapter 7 verse 15. Beware of false prophets. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. How do you know if somebody's a false prophet? By their fruits. By their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone, Jesus said, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never... Notice that. I never... He didn't say, I knew you, and then I forgot about you. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. False prophets will be judged. They will be judged. False prophets lead people astray, don't they? There's a lot of false prophets in the world today. There's a lot of false prophets. God hears and sees everything. Secondly, I want you to think about what the false prophets say. What do the false prophets say? Back to Jeremiah. You know, false prophets haven't changed much over the years. They're the same today as they were in Jeremiah's day. They're the same today as they were in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, they were taking advantage of widows, taking money from people, living a higher life than the common person because they were reverends. They are profane, verse 11. Notice what it says, verse 23. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Profane, ungodly. You know, a lot of these false prophets, when they come, when they're exposed, we find out how godly, or how ungodly, I should say, they are. You don't have to go back much in time, in history, in our lifetime, to think about preachers that were exposed to be ungodly. They were false prophets. They were exposed to be ungodly. Profane, that's an interesting word. That's where we get our word profanity, isn't it? Profanity. You know, there's a preacher, I guess he's still around, I'm not even going to mention his name, but he's not from this area. But he was well known for a few years, well known, and his nickname was the cussing preacher. The cussing preacher. I don't have any confidence in a preacher that cusses. I think when God saves you, you ought to clean your mouth up. Vulgar language is, there's no place for that, especially in the pulpit. There's no place for vulgar language. And you, let me say this, if the kids shouldn't be watching it, you shouldn't be watching it.
Amen.
And if you don't want the grandkids say it, maybe you oughtn't say it. We're living in a time today, in churches today, I saw, Evelyn showed it to me, I saw church people promoting the big drinking festival they had up here this weekend, I guess. Church people promoting that. That's the kind of day we're living in. See, when I got saved, I was pretty much, I was a heavy drinker. And so one of the things God delivered me from was alcohol. And I'm just so naive. I thought when God saved you that he saved you from being a drunk. By the way, I'm so old fashioned, I still think that. But we're living in a time where Christians, so-called, are watching pornography and drinking beer and whiskey and having foul mouths, and the priest and the prophets are telling them to go ahead. Verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. They're adulterers. They walk in a manner of life that strengthens the hands of the evil. In other words, they're dumb dogs. They don't cry out against sin. Our churches are filled with preachers who won't, as one man said, they wouldn't yell rattlesnake if one was wrapped around their neck. They won't cry out against sin. They prophesy falsely. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. They speak peace to people that need to be disturbed. Do they not? These false prophets. They speak peace to those people that need to be disturbed. They're deceivers. But remember, the Apostle Paul said, do not be deceived. Be not deceived, he said. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I'm glad he said that. He said, these people aren't going to heaven. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I was preaching on that subject one time, and this lady kept going, as I was reading that list of people who aren't going to heaven. She kept going, Finally, I stopped and I said, ma'am, I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. Verse 25, what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. You know, that One way you can tell a false prophet, folks, is when they get on the television or the radio and said, God gave me a vision, a dream of something. And this is what he wants you to do. Now, when he says that, you better put your spiritual antennas up, because he's probably getting ready to lie to you. Because the next thing he's going to say is, send me some money. The false prophets. Let me say this about dreams. I'm not saying that God couldn't send you a dream, but if your dream doesn't line up with the Bible, your dream's wrong. If your dream goes against the Bible, your dream's wrong. So what does God hear? Well, he hears everything, doesn't he? What do the false prophets say? Well, they lie. They lie. Thirdly, what is God's response? What is God's response? Well, notice what he says in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. I don't care if a guy's got on a black robe and his collar turned around backwards. I don't care if he's got DD, LD, PhD, whatever behind his name. If he's a false prophet, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to these false prophets. The Bible says here, they speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. We have to be able to discern what's true and what's false, don't we? How do you do that? You do it by this book right here, folks. If a guy gets on the radio or the television or even in this pulpit and says something that's not in this book, he's wrong. The Bible's right. The Bible will be right a million years from now. You judge by this book, folks. I don't care how nice. We used to live beside this lady. She's gone now. We loved her. She was like a second grandmother to me. But whenever I'd mention somebody, no matter how mean they was, didn't matter if they was just got out of the pen for murdering somebody, she'd say, oh, he's such a nice fella. He's a nice guy. In other words, she'd never say anything bad about anybody. But every once in a while, you got to say, hey, this guy's a false prophet.
Amen.
This guy's not telling the truth. Especially as a preacher, I have to warn you against false prophets. That's my job. That's my job, is to warn you against false prophets. God says don't hearken to them. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. And notice what he says in verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. Isn't that something, that a lot of times these false prophets have more zeal than God's own people? There's cults. I won't mention names. You know who they are. There's cults that are more aggressive than Christians.
Amen.
That's a shame to us. God said they ran, but I didn't send them. I want to remind you this morning that the devil has his prophets too. The devil has his prophets too. Satan, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that he has his false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What the Apostle Paul was saying was, these false prophets, they're smooth as butter. They're slick as can be. They're sophisticated. They're educated. They don't rub you the wrong way. Sometimes I rub you the wrong way, I imagine. I like to think I do every once in a while. Billy Sunday said, if my preaching rubs you the wrong way, you need to turn the cat around. right? We need correction. You'll never get to the point in your Christian life you don't need correction. Amen. You'll never get to the point in your Christian life where you don't need exhortation. I need to exhort you. I need to reprove you. And I need to warn you, there's false prophets out there. False prophets. The Lord's message is different than the message of the false prophets. Look at verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way. I can tell you how one way you can know a false prophet is he won't preach about people turning from evil. But when I get up here in the pulpit, God being my helper, I'm going to tell you what sin is. I'm going to tell you to avoid it. I'm going to tell you to do right and not wrong. Amen. And he says, God says here, if they'd stood in my counsel, in other words, if they'd have been my prophet, they'd have told these people to turn from their wicked way. We need some preachers today say, hey, homosexuality is wrong. We need some preachers today say adultery is wrong. We need some preachers today say boozing it up is wrong. Partying's wrong. Smoking dope's wrong. I'm old fashioned. I still think all that stuff's wrong.
Amen.
We need some people to say that. And what's happened is we've raised a couple generations of people who have accepted this stuff. God's against the false prophets. He's against the false prophets. Look at verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. You know, how does that happen? How does a false prophet steal the words of God? I'll tell you how he does it. The Bible doesn't really mean that right there. You're okay. Don't worry about that. No, that's talking about the Jews. That's a different dispensation. Don't worry about that. It doesn't affect that. We're not under that. That's how he does it. Old Vance Havner said, every time I find a portion of Scripture that blesses my heart and helps me, he said, some Bible scholar comes around and says, that's not for you. He said, I feel like I've laid down the grass, and they come and say, hey, get off the grass. There's some people, they rightly divide the Word of God, but there's some people who divide it too much. God's response is, don't listen to these false prophets. And we ought to be against them too. We ought to be against them too. God said, what's the chaff to the wheat? In other words, what's their falsehood? What's their false to the real? What's the chaff to... This is the wheat, folks. This is the bread. What's the chaff to the wheat? You say, oh, well, he's such a good teacher. Well, if he's teaching false things, you ought to quit listening to him. I almost said her. Some of y'all, I hope y'all don't listen to women preachers. Amen. I won't get into that this morning. You know, we're living in a day with a lot of loose living. There's a lot of licentious Christianity. A Christianity that looks and talks and behaves just like the world. I'll be on a job sometimes and there'll be a guy there and he's swarping and cussing and telling dirty jokes and everything, and then he'll find out I'm a preacher and he'll come up and tell me he's a Christian. I Now listen, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he sure wasn't behaving like one a little earlier. And I don't think I'm any better than anybody else, but I know what the Bible says. And the Bible says if we're in Christ, we're to be new creatures. And the Bible says that we're not to continue on in the lifestyle that we used to live. And the Bible says we're to walk as children of light and we're to walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. That's what the Bible says. I don't know what Dr. Thumbsucker says, but I know what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life, or of his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive rite, speaking evil of you. Can I just tell you what that means in plain West Virginia, Clendenin language? That means your old buddies they don't like it that you don't run with them anymore. And the reason you don't run with them anymore is because God has changed your life. Amen. And if God hasn't changed your life, I'm not sure you're a Christian. Because the only salvation I know is a life-changing salvation.
That's right.
Well, what's the remedy? What's the remedy? Well, the remedy is the Word of God, isn't it? It always is. The remedy is the Word of God. The remedy is not to try to be more like... That's what churches are doing today. They're trying to be more like the world. If we act more like the world, we'll win the world. No, you won't. You won't win the world. Somebody said a boat in the water is a thing of beauty, but you get water in the boat and you got trouble. The church in the world is a thing of beauty, but if you get the world in the church, you've got trouble. There was a movement several years back. It's called the seeker-friendly movement. Did anybody ever hear of it? The seeker friendly, that's where you sent out a bunch of people with a clipboard, knocked on the neighbor's doors and said, what would you like to see in a church? Well, I wish they had a bowling alley. I wish they had a coffee bar. I wish they had a brewery in the basement. By the way, there are churches with breweries in the basement. And they wrote all that stuff down. It's what people wanted, and that's what they tried to make their church to be. I'm telling you right now, that's up out of hell. We're not to conform to the world. We're not to talk like the world and dress like the world and act like the world. We're to be different. We're to be different. The remedy is not to be like the world. Hey, when I got saved, I was looking for something different from the world. You couldn't have enticed me to a bunch of people that acted just like me. I was wanting to get away from that crowd. God, the Holy Spirit had convicted me. I wanted to get away. I didn't want to be... What difference does it make if we all yoke up and we're the same as we were? So the answer is not to be more like the world. The answer is not to entertain people. Churches today, they want to entertain people. Now listen, I'm not against having a good time. I'm not against having singers or whatever you want to. You name it, I'm not against. When it comes to stuff like that, I'm for that. I'm not against that. But I'm telling you right now, you can't build a church on entertainment. Because if there ever comes a time you can't entertain them, they'll leave. Or if a bigger name comes to the church down the road, they'll go to that one. There was a man who oversaw the bus ministries. Big name in fundamental circles. And before he died, he said, we have messed up. He said, now we're giving away professional baseball game tickets to kids to get them to ride the bus. He said, we can't do this. You can't continue on like that. Some preachers are entertainers. Literally. They just entertain people. Y'all don't look too entertained this morning. But there's some preachers just entertain people. You know, sometimes I use humor. I sometimes say something funny. Some preachers think you ought to never say anything funny. But I kind of agree with Spurgeon. He said, I'd like to tickle my oyster before I stick the knife in it. But you know, the church is not an entertainment center. And it's not a comedy barn. The remedy is God's word. Verse 29, look at it. Verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? I'm telling you, we need more of the word of God. His word is like a fire. Fire can have different results, can't it? The same fire that hardens clay softens wax. The same fire can burn the dross out of our lives. Fire can burn the impurities out of our life. The Word of God can take the impurities out of our life. The fire purifies gold, doesn't it? It can soften our hard hearts. That's what the verse here in verse 29, that's what he's talking about. Like a hammer that breaketh the rock. This old hard heart needs broken up. It needs broken up. God's word works on our hearts, doesn't it? It's a fire. That same fire can soften metal, but it can also temper metal. God's word's like a fire, isn't it? It works on the sinner's heart. And it can give you heartburn. It works on a sinner's heart, and it can make your heart burn within you. It can warm your heart in a cold world. God's word can warm your heart in a cold world. The hymn says, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. The only way to do that is through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. God's Word, the Bible says here in verse 29, is like a hammer. It's like a hammer. It can break the hard heart of the most stubborn sinner. You say, I'd like to see old so-and-so get saved, but she's meaner than a snake. Well, listen, God can break the hard heart of that lady.
Yes, he can.
If we can call her a lady. He can break the hard heart of the worst sinner. He can break the hard heart of the most stubborn sinner. He can take a proud man and the hammer of the Word of God beat him down to his knees. God's Word is like a hammer. And not only that, it can break down our little religious houses. God's word can break down our little... What do I mean by that? I mean that just about every one of us has come up somehow where we were taught something that was wrong. Maybe by your parents, your grandparents, maybe by the preacher you sat under, but it was not right because nobody's right all the time. I'm not right all the time. But when you, God's word can knock that board out of there. It's like a hammer. It's like a hammer. God's word is effective. Man can't add anything to it or take anything away from it. It's effective. It doesn't need anything added to it. It's effective. God said, what's the chaff to the wheat? What kind of chaff are we going to add to the word of God? Man's philosophy is chaff. You know, sometimes I'm a preacher, so I talk to preachers, and sometimes one of them will say, well, I think, blah, 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 blah. And I'll say, that's interesting, but what does the Bible say? The Baptist, supposedly, are people of the book. That's kind of a nickname for us. We're people of the book. So, though I may value your opinion and like your opinion, I may even agree with your opinion, the bottom line is it needs to line up with this book. Right? Anchor yourself to this book, folks. There's a lot of false out there. Stay with the book. Stay with the book. These new revelations, you know, God revealed to me last night that, well, phooey on you. God's done revealing. It's all right here. Amen. God's word, this word is where we get our nourishment, isn't it? As Christians. As Christians. I'm thinking of a preacher right now. He writes in a magazine. I get the magazine. He came up with some theory the other day. I read it and I'm like, what in the world is this? What's this guy talking about? And I read it and I reread it. And what it did, he had an argument. That's what people do. They come to the Bible with their ideas and then they try to make the Bible fit their ideas. Did you ever notice that? You and I are guilty of that too, by the way. But he came to the Bible with this idea and then he found a scripture that he thought he could mold into his purpose. And this is the first, I read a lot of old stuff. I read Puritans. I read the church fathers. I read people that's lived 50 years ago and 200 years ago. I read a lot of stuff. And I'd never heard what this man said in this newspaper article that I get. And I come to conclusion, as Tozer said, if it's new, it's not true. In other words, I'm just warning you, when some guy jumps up and says, God showed me this and that everybody's been wrong for 2,000 years, I wouldn't bank on that. Amen? I wouldn't bank on that. Well, the Word of God is our wheat, isn't it? It's our bread. It's the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the living Word, isn't he? This word is the answer for a sin-sick world is not Dr. Fauci. The answer for a sin-sick world is the Bible, isn't it? It's the Bible. The answer for you and I to tell us how to live is the Bible. It's the remedy. The Word of God is the remedy. The answer for our nation, and our nation's in a mess, is the Bible. The answer for our churches is the Bible. I want to tell you today, God has a remedy. God has a remedy. If the whole world goes crooked, we ought to stay straight.
That's right.
A friend of mine was, he was a truck driver, and he and another fellow were driving a truck, I think it was across Nebraska, or it may have been one of the Dakotas. And where they were at, the roads, straight as a line. I mean, not like here. We don't have any roads like that. It was just straight as far as you could see. And he said they were in a blinding snowstorm. And they were driving an 18-wheeler. And he said, you know how 18-wheelers do. They don't even slow down. In those snowstorms, he was driving just 60 mile an hour or whatever. And he said, as the snowstorm got more intense, he said, you couldn't see a thing. He said, and all of a sudden, the guy driving that truck, they were co-driving, and he was in the passenger seat. He said, all of a sudden, the guy driving that truck started veering the steering wheel and going off to the left or the right a little bit. And this old preacher who was in the passenger seat, he said, hey, he said, just because we can't see the road doesn't mean it's changed. What was he saying? Hey, it might sometimes seem kind of dark. It might sometimes seem like we can't see what's ahead. But I'm telling you, the road's straight. And it ain't changing. Don't veer. Just stay right on it. Just stay right on it. Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? Do you know Jesus Christ today? The remedy is Jesus Christ. What the world needs is Jesus Christ. What we need to do is take them the Word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts people by the Word of God. He convicts people by He draws people by the Word of God. He helps Christians by the Word of God. That's the remedy. Les, you and Ginger, come ahead. We'll sing a song.